here. I will say this, if there's one something we like to do as a family on Sunday nights, we don't do it every Sunday night, but we like to go to the lake, and we sit there and we watch the sunset and eat popcorn and chill out. So if anybody wants to join us tonight, we'll have the popcorn and the drinks there, and you're welcome to come join us at about 7:30. It'll be usually over here on the east side somewhere. Maybe just shoot me a text if you come so I can have enough popcorn made for you. All right, it won't be supper. All right. Jamin, shall we just take the rest of the service and pray for a school teacher? I tell you what, let's do that at the lake tonight. If you come over to the lake, we'll spend some time just praying, seeking God, maybe do a little singing on behalf of our school and for a teacher. This message today kind of has two parts to it, and it feels a little bit of almost a weird message. No, maybe not weird, but a little bit different. I'm going to be speaking about lying. And not lying down to take a nap. I'm talking about speaking a lie. So everyone listen up. This is a message that children, you will be able to understand, and everyone here. In Romans 12, 4 and 5, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another." Using the illustration of our body, our members, our hands, our toes, working together. So we are members one of another. When we become Jesus followers, we are joined to a body, and that's the body of Christ, the church. The Bible spends quite a bit of time and energy teaching us how to respond to each other once we join that body, and teaches us how to live and interact and respond to one another. And as a Christian, we are expected then to respond in the way Jesus taught us, to one another. And there's quite a bit of things where it says, do this, and the Bible says, do this to one another. And then it says, for instance, it says, love one another, right? We get that. It says, be devoted to one another, honor one another, build up one another, be like-minded towards one another, accept one another, admonish one another, care for one another, serve one another, bear each other's burdens, forgive one another, submit to one another. I mean, teach one another, pray for one another, confess your faults to one another. I mean, the list just, it goes on. And the Bible's teaching us how to relate to each other in all these things. Those are the things we're supposed to do. Then it says, there's a few things that it says we're not to do. And one of those is what I want to speak on today. One of them is, it's in Colossians, it says, lie not one to another. It also talks about stop passing judgment on one another. We're not to become conceited, provoking, envying one another. Something we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to grumble against each other. So the list goes on, and if God leads me, I'd like to maybe hit more of these in the future. But today, I want to look at that one in Colossians. It's found in Colossians 3, I think, in verse 9. It says, lie not one to another. Is lying a big deal? I think we would all agree lying is a big deal. And it's interesting to me how they can even use lie detectors to determine if someone, and I guess they're supposed to be pretty accurate. I didn't do the research. I don't understand how they work, except that they measure your response. They can somehow measure your response. I don't know if it's your blood pressure or, anybody understand it? Want to speak to it, how it works? But they can detect, kind of, if someone is saying a lie because of how they react to people. A young girl one time was asked, maybe about these young girls' age right here, was asked, what is a lie? She replied, "A lie is an abomination to God and a very present help in time of trouble." It's kind of how we use lying sometimes, isn't it? Well, just to determine if lying is a big deal or not, let's just look at what the Bible says about it. These aren't my words. These are the words from the Bible. What do I need to do, Jeremy? Exit out. Go back in. Man. All right. Here's some verses about lying. A false witness shall not be unpunished. These are out of Proverbs, I think, most of these here, in this page anyway. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. The desire of a man in his kindness is in his kindness, is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. One of the things there where six things that the Lord hates, one of those is a false witness that speaketh lies. Here's some more. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ye are of your father. This is where Jesus was kind of, he was in a little bit of a heated debate with some of the leaders there, the Pharisees. I don't know who they were all were, but this is, and they were claiming, you know, they're not servants to anybody, they're Abraham's children. And this was Jesus' response: "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And then Colossians 3, verse 9 is the one kind of was the what got me thinking about this message. "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." You know, I've talked about Ray Comfort numerous times here already. I just enjoy listening to Ray and his encounters and his interactions with witnessing to Jesus. I learn. I'm trying to learn from him. I want to become more bold in my witnessing. I want to be tactful with it. But one of the things he often starts with is, "Do you think you're a good person?" And almost always people say, yeah, they think they're a good person. And so he starts working down some of the Ten Commandments. And one of the things he says, "Have you ever said a lie?" And almost without fail, people will say, "Too many to number." That's usually their response. Too many to number. How many here have said a lie? Have you ever said a lie? I see pretty much all the hands going up. If you didn't raise your hand, now I'll ask it again. Did you ever say a lie? And, you know, something I don't even understand in the Old Testament is how some people got away with lying. Abraham, you know, Abraham and Isaac both lied about their wives and said they're our sisters. And it didn't seem like it worked out really well for them by telling a lie. Like, what's up with that? Rahab, she lied about hiding the spies to the soldiers that came. She lied about it. I mean, she just straight lied about it. And she's named in the chapter of faith, I think, somewhere there in the New Testament. I'm not sure if it's in Hebrews or not. But then you come to the New Testament, and we know the story of Ananias and his wife, how they came to the apostles. They had sold the land, and they kept back some of the money by deceit. And boom, Ananias dropped dead on the spot right there because he lied. 3 hours later, his wife comes in, and she agrees with what her husband had said, and she, boom, dies on the spot. Man, what's the difference? Any take on that? Because I don't know. I don't really know. Like, did God kind of wink at some of that at one point a little bit? I don't know. It's a little, I just don't understand that part of it. We live in a post-truth society, and it just seems like we're bombarded with lies and deceit all around us. And here's just some things I found. And we know this: children at an early age learn how to fake, conceal, bluff, manipulate, cover up. Right? We see that in our children. They can come up with some whoppers. You know, it's like, whoa, you know, they're almost funny at times. Here's men are 8 times more likely to lie than women to protect themselves. It's not a good strike for us guys. Women tend to lie more to protect other people. It's an interesting concept. On any given day, research shows that you will be lied to 20 to 200 times. And strangers, when two strangers meet and begin to talk, on average, they lie 3 times in the first 10 minutes of meeting each other. So it's either by stretching the truth or saying something, you know, you're trying to get to know each other and maybe you're boasting a little bit. I don't know what all it is, but that's just a statistic that they had that I found that was kind of interesting. And something that it feels like God has been convicting me of over the last several years, honestly, is that I've kind of figured out that in sometimes I am kind of saying lies. In making excuses for things that I don't do or do, I kind of make an excuse for it. I think we do we cover up or we stretch the truth a little bit. We twist it. Does that really matter? Is it a big deal? When we just twist it a little bit or maybe not quite give all the facts. We'll give some of the facts, but we do it to save face. And that's some of the stuff I began to see in my own life. And I spoke of one on the Father's Day message. I don't know if you remember that or not, about the phone call. Sometimes, you know, my phone rings. And I look at it and I see who it is and I say, oh, I don't want to talk to him right now. And I lay the phone down and my children are around there. And later I pick the phone up and I call that person back and I say, hey, sorry, I was busy at the time. I just said a fib. And my children heard it. How am I supposed to teach them about honesty? You know, little things like that, it seems like God has been opening my eyes to, where I'm not... If I'd be honest, I'd have called that person back and said, hey, you know what? When I saw it was you, I didn't feel like talking to you. That's the honest thing that happened. I don't know that I have to speak that, But neither should I lie about why I didn't say it. So I would encourage you, the next time you make an excuse about something, whether it was late to a job or whether it was whatever, when you give that excuse, I want you to stop and think about it. Is that excuse really the truth? I think you'll be surprised maybe how much we are not always honest about it. I see it with employees where they say, you know what, I wasn't able to get that done because I had so much to do. The truth is, they didn't plan well. It wasn't that they had too much to do. The planning suffered. And so we feed ourselves these lies, and if we're not willing to look at these lies that we believe or that we convince ourselves of, do you think we'll ever change? Maybe it's too ticky, but I challenge you to think about it. How are we supposed to get better in something, whether it's a bad habit or saying white lies, if we don't see the truth in what we're dealing with? We won't. We won't do better. A lie that is half truth, someone said, this is a quote, a lie that is half truth is the darkest of all lies. You know, freedom from self, which I think is where we think we're more important than others, freedom from sin, this will make me look or feel better, and freedom from shame, shame is believing a lie. I think if we want freedom from these things, we have to understand the truth of what we're dealing with. And if we continue to make excuses, we won't improve in those areas. Someone has said, you know, the definition of insanity, right, is to expect different results and by keeping on doing the same thing. That's the definition of insanity. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's talking, I believe it comes down to just an understanding of what Jesus did for us and what our position is in Christ, our understanding of salvation and the gospel. Truth is in a person, and his name is Jesus. The opposite of truth is a what? Tessa. Did you not hear the question? What's the opposite of truth? A lie. I'm sure you're drawing things about truth and lies there, and you guys are having object lessons, so good job. At the beginning of Colossians, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. Get your vision off of down here and set it up there. At least get it up off yourself and begin to understand and see areas where you may not be being truthful with yourself. Lying is sin. I don't say that half-heartedly. I believe it. Lying is sin, and we can't tame it. We can't pet it. We have to kill it. We got to bring out the big guns on it. So what is the danger? What is the danger of lying and believing lies? How does lying become harmful in the body of Christ and to us individually? And some of these thoughts are not all my own, by the way. I got some help with my thinking here. Lying is destructive. It destroys ourselves and relationships with our fellow man. And here's a couple things that it does. It feeds our craving for the applause of man. We want people to think more highly of ourselves than maybe what they should. And so we'll twist the truth and maybe not say all the facts or leave out some of the facts in order that people will think more of us. And so we like that applause. And that's destructive. remember the statistic I shared about meeting the stranger and lying three times in the first 10 minutes? Like, it goes along with that. We want people to, we want that stranger to think a lot real good about us, so we'll stretch the truth. Everything's going so good at home. Man, I just love my wife. My kids are just falling in line with obedience. You know, we'll stretch it a bit. Another thing that it does is we lie to protect someone else. Ladies, this is maybe where you're a little bit more guilty of. You are more prone to do this, according to the research. Maybe you'll lie to protect a friendship. And in doing that, you care more about the friendship than the friend. Think about it. When we lie, sin remains in the dark. I think the first time I heard this was from Stan. The power of sin, Stan, can you finish it?
Is in its secrecy.
The power of sin is in its secrecy, and that's one of the destructive things about lying. Because we want to hide it. We don't want people to know the truth. We want them to think more of us than what we really are. And so when someone asks you, well, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, you know, how many times does your mind go to just some of the struggles you had recently? But, yeah, doing good. And that, no, how are you really doing, Hans? How are you really doing? And that you feel the struggle in your mind. Like, oh, not so good, but, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Like, it's, we wrestle right there with really being honest where we're at. This battle begins, and the enemy begins to bring that shame you feel into your mind. And you have this struggle between dragging the shame out and exposing it or keeping it hid in the dark. And I'm telling you, in the dark, good things don't come or grow or whatever you want to call it. Another reason lying is destructive is you cannot fully love someone. You cannot fully love someone unless you fully know them. Think about that. True or false? You can't really fully love someone unless you fully know them. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus, is that he knows everything about all of us right here. And yet he loves us more than we can even comprehend. That's pretty astounding to me. So why do we have to keep things hidden? By keeping things hidden, we diminish the ability to fully love. Lying is totally against the gospel. You see, Jesus died for all of our sins. Past, present, and when you encounter sin in the future, Jesus paid for it. Your penalty for sin was paid at the cross. You were justified. When you take Jesus into your heart, your sins were paid for. Amen? Currently, we learn. That's justification, I guess is what you would call it. Currently, we're learning how to get over the power of sin. I guess they'd call that sanctification, right? But yet, I think it's one of the things that Satan brings at us so heavily is that when we sin and we know it, he brings shame with it. And when we feel that shame, you know how we don't walk around like this. We walk around like this. We lose our authority, our position. And it's a lie from the devil. It goes against the very gospel. The glorious gospel invites you and me to drag our sin out of the dark. And the last one, I would say, another one, it diminishes our trust in one another. Whenever we lie to one another, essentially what we are saying is here is an area that I don't trust the gospel. And so I have to hide it, because if I reveal it, it's not going to work out good for me. I'm going to look bad. And so we don't trust the work of Christ in an area, and we'll lie about it. Maybe not by lying, but I don't think I'm talking to liars, by the way. I don't feel that towards you. The other part of this, I think, is and the Bible talks a lot about, is being careful about believing lies, and I talked already about some of that. We're bombarded with scammers, right? They're all around us, posing as something they're not. A couple months ago, William and I, we were wanting to buy another kayak, and one day he brought this ad to me, and he said, "Dad, these kayaks are on sale, $99. And they were nice kayaks. And I looked at it, and the website looked legit. It was on Facebook, I think, right? Is that where you found it? Marketplace? I forget. I think it was Facebook. And I was like, "Dude, that's an awesome deal. Let's buy one." So we ordered one, and a couple weeks went by, and we didn't get our kayak. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, I called the company, and they had a automated answering machine, and they said something about, "If you're calling about the $99 kayaks, that was fraud." It's like, they got us, $99. Some of these statistics blew my mind. Look at this. 49 million people last year in the United States affected by identity fraud. $56 billion last year lost to identity fraud. $56 billion. Hello. I think the statistic said that on average it's about $1,100 per incident that is lost. Neil said, I don't know who this Neil is, but he said it, "Facebook is becoming a fraudster's paradise. So many ads that are scams, it's disgusting that Facebook allows this. Thousands of gullible people out there losing money." I'd like to challenge Neil. I'd like to say, is it Facebook that we need to blame, or is it the gullible people that we need to blame? I think it's the gullible people. And I was one of them. So I guess I share this as just as a warning. Be careful about fraud. There is a lot of fakeness out there. And it's huge business, as you can see. I think most of us probably have encountered it. The social media dilemma. Anyone can voice their opinion on anything and instantly share it with the world. And whether it's true or not, someone can have a strong opinion about something, and they can write an amazing article, and boom, it goes to the world. And we don't know anything about that person or done the background work on them, and their voice just goes out, and we don't even know if it's true or not, right? So let's just be careful with what we read, with the scammers out there. Let's not let them get us. Jesus taught us... here in Mark, he was speaking to Peter, James, and John, Andrew, about the end of time drawing near. And Jesus, answering them, began to say, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." I know this isn't talking about money, but I think also Jesus did recognize that he must have knew about the internet coming. I don't know. But it does talk about how deceivers will get worse and worse. Here's 2 Thessalonians. Read this with me. You need to wake up. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye be not soon shaken in mind." Is that? Can you hardly read it? Okay. "That ye be not soon," I'll just read it, "soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except these things come to falling." Mine's small too. "Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know that with And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So there's this dude, the person, it seems like that is going to be released in his once it's time, and this deceit and is only going to get worse. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Glory. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. And for this God, for a cause, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. That's kind of scary, you think about it. I mean, it's not as, we don't have to worry about it, but, you know, if we believe a lie long enough, it becomes hard to reverse that lie. And people become delusioned. And they just believe anything and everything. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Again, this verse I quoted earlier in Revelation, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. A couple quotes here, tell a lie once and all your truths become questionable. The truth may hurt for a little while, but a lie hurts forever. What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. So I guess my challenge and encouragement this morning, I don't feel like we have to put out all our dirty laundry to everybody. But neither do we have to be so ashamed about our sins. And I believe as we are honest with someone, and we expose and speak it, I believe it loses its power in our lives. And I would just encourage you to in the next months, try to recognize if you're being totally honest in all your responses, in all your excuses that you give, are they actually true? Or are they just that, excuses? Lie not one to another. That's all I have.